Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I'm interviewing Emily Burdett for my I Want to BA series. Emily was a parliamentary assistant straight from university, working in the House of Commons for two ministers, first Elizabeth Truss and after that Robert Halfen. Emily explains what it's like to work in such an iconic and historic environment, helping to support MPs with everything that's thrown at them, where one minute you're walking past the Prime Minister, she says, and the next talking to a constituent about their dustbin collections. So Emily, welcome. If we can start by just hearing a rundown of your journey from when you were at school through to where you are now. Let's start off with where you went to school.
So I went to St Dunstan School in Glastonbury, which is a little town in Somerset, most known for Glastonbury Festival.
Yeah.
So it was just a normal state comprehensive. It was all right. Nothing particularly special.
Yeah.
And then I did my GCSEs there, and then I went to Strode College, which is a state college basically.
Yeah.
And did A levels.
And what sort of student were you at school? Were you academic? Were you social?
I was fairly academic in the sense that I was quite good at the work, but I was probably a little bit lazy when it came to it, quite sociable.
Yeah. Were you naughty?
No, but I probably wasn't as dedicated as I could have been.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And did you enjoy it at school?
Yeah, I did really enjoy school.
Yeah. And did you know what you wanted to do?
No idea whatsoever. No.
And how about your parents? What were your parents doing at that point?
So my mum is a social worker, particularly in mental health, but she's also an NHS manager now.
Okay.
So yeah, she kind of had done that.
And did that have influence over what you wanted to do ultimately?
Not particularly. She had inspired me to always want to go to university. So my mum had left school with no qualifications. She had me when she was 17.
Right.
She was a single parent.
Yeah.
And that had really inspired me to always want to go to university and kind of do well, because I'd seen, you know, with her hard work, how well she had done. So I'd always had that as kind of an inspiration. But in terms of like careers, I've gone down a totally different path.
And do you remember your mum going to university?
Yeah, so she went to university when I was like four or five.
Right,
so,
okay.
Yeah, I sat in lecture halls with her when when I was a kid. Went to the university play scheme and that kind of thing. So I really saw her progress from, you know, working like bar jobs to, you know, working in really good jobs now. So
yeah, wonderful. And when you were at college, what A-levels did you do?
I did history, politics, law and sociology.
And did you have anything in mind at that point when you chose those?
No, I was always really interested in history, always really interested in politics. I was good at writing.
Mm.
So all those kind of things made sense to do. I was always potentially interested in doing law.
Mm.
Thought I might want to be a solicitor, for example. So that kind of made sense to do that. But yeah, I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do.
No. And where do you think your interest in politics came from?
I think I'd always been interested in politics. You know, I can remember things like Tony Blair getting elected, and I was only seven, so I must have always had a bit of an interest. But when I was 11, just about to turn 12, that's when 9/11 happens.
Mm.
And I think that's when I just started secondary school, and you're naturally really interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I took real interest in it. So I used to watch the news every night when I was a kid, and you know, that always made me quite interested in politics and what was going on.
And did you do any work experience while you were at school or college?
Nothing political whatsoever. For a while, I thought maybe I wanted to be a doctor or do something in healthcare. So I did a week's work experience in a hospital. I shadowed some doctors and discovered I was scared of blood and fainted.
Okay.
Fainted at A&E at the sight of some woman who'd fallen over and hurt herself.
That's very funny, bearing in mind I know you live with a doctor. But yeah. Anyway.
Okay. So that was really, really embarrassing.
Yeah.
And yeah, made me swiftly realise that that career path probably wasn't for me.
Right. Okay. So you went to uni. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah. So I went to the University of Nottingham and I studied history. Again, had no idea what I wanted to do. It was just, I chose an A-level, but I chose to do something I was good at A-level. And I kind of thought I potentially wanted to do law, but people said to me, oh, well, you don't actually need a law degree to be a lawyer. So yeah. I thought, okay, well, I'll go and do something I'm more interested in that.
And did you consider not going to uni at all?
No, not at all. I think I'd always known I wanted to go to uni, but equally, I think back then there wasn't the opportunities there are now. Mm. Now I'm not sure I would go to university. Mm. You know, I'm not sure actually it's given me the benefit that I would want to pay £9,000 a year for.
Yeah. But we'll come on to sort of your entry into your first job in a moment. But do you believe that your university degree was essential for you to get that job or not?
No. Mm-hmm. I don't at all. I think it was helpful in that it taught me how to do things like summarise a lot of information quickly. Mm-hmm. But I probably could have learned how to do that elsewhere.
Yeah.
But one thing it was very good for was that's when I started getting really active in politics.
Yeah.
So I was part of the, you know, Conservative Association at uni, which is pretty sad. But, yeah. You know, that's how I started developing a bit of a political network. And that's when I sort of discovered that actually jobs in politics really do exist.
Right.
People
okay.
do them. So.
So how did you go about getting your first job and explain what that was for us?
Yeah. So I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I finished university without a job offer, didn't know what I was going to do at all. And just thought, well, I'm really passionate about politics. Why don't I go and try and work in the Houses of Parliament? So I started writing to MPs who I kind of admired and basically sending them my CV and a cover letter saying, you know, I'm available now.
Yeah. And you lived in London, did you, at this point?
No. So I lived in Somerset, which was always a bit of a challenge because, you know, for a cost issue, a lot of people could have done what I did during their holidays if they lived in London, whereas I couldn't. So,
and you had no financial support at this point?
No financial support at all. So for me, it was very much, if I was going to do it, I needed to make the most of it because I was going to struggle. Yeah. So I wrote to lots of MPs and then luckily Elizabeth Truss took me on as an intern.
I must say at this point that everybody I interview on this series, they always think they were lucky. But, you know, what I can see from my perspective is it's not lucky. It's sheer determination and application and making sure that, you know, being clear on what they want and then going for it, really. And, you know, you've just described another example. So tell us about the role with Liz Truss. When did that start?
So that was September 2012.
Yeah.
So a couple of months after I graduated, she had just been made childcare minister, which was really interesting. So occasionally we got to learn a little bit about what she was doing, but a lot of it was quite admin focused or, you know, replying to policy emails from her constituents, that kind of thing, or writing briefing notes for her on a particular topic.
Yeah. And what sort of size team was it?
So in that team, in the Westminster office, there were two other people.
Yeah.
And then there was a couple of people in the constituency as well.
And did you feel in any way sort of out of your depth, you know, working with this cabinet minister and you've never actually worked in Parliament before and you're in this beautiful, iconic environment? I mean, how was that?
It can be quite intimidating. I think I did feel that it was quite intimidating to start with. I felt, you know, it's quite hard. A lot of the people who are around you are quite privileged. Even a lot of the staff, you know, they're quite wealthy, they don't have to worry about money and things like that, whereas I always felt, okay, well, I'm going out for drinks and things like that, but actually this is actually a stretch for me to be able to do it. So I always felt under that kind of pressure that I needed to make things work quite quickly, whereas I think a lot of people didn't have that. But in terms of the job, it was all fairly straightforward. Adjusting to, you know, having to get up every morning at 9 a.m. was a bit of a challenge, but I think that is the case for everyone who's just finished uni.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, getting that new body clock working.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how did you live on that sort of minimum wage then, straight from uni?
With a lot of difficulty.
In central London as well.
So, yeah, it was really difficult. I think back then, you know, taxes even worse than it is now in terms of the personal allowance. So I think I took home about £800 a month.
Yeah, and you should share the house or something?
I had a room which I rented from someone.
Actually,
it was really tough. Mm. Like, you know, after that and travel, I could barely afford to eat or drink or anything like that. So everything I did, I'd often go out socialising, but actually I couldn't afford to eat or drink or anything like that. So it was really hard, but I kind of knew that actually I had to keep going out and I had to keep make the most of it.
And networking and so on.
If I was going to get the opportunity to keep working in politics, yeah.
So you were taken on as an intern, and then that turned into a full-time job, didn't it?
So that was like a full-time internship after that. So she extended my contract and I was there for about 6-7 months.
Great, okay.
Which was really good.
And so after that, you then moved on to another job in Parliament, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So after that, I got a job working for Rob Halfon, who's the MP for Harlow, as his parliamentary researcher or parliamentary assistant.
And tell us a bit more about that.
So that was quite a full-on job. I was with him for 2 and a bit years, and it was really doing all the political side of his work in Parliament. So he was a really, really active backbencher, doing lots of campaigning, influencing the government all the time. And so I did all the political stuff. So anything from speech writing, drafting his questions to be asked in Parliament, dealing with the press and the media.
And what sort of training did you have to do that? Or do you have to sort of just learn it as you do it?
Yeah, it's just learning it on the job, really, and just kind of having to sink or swim, really.
Yeah, and I suppose the same applies to MPs, does it?
Yeah, there's absolutely no training. I think that's what's really odd about working in Parliament is that you all get put together to do this and there's no training whatsoever. Mm. And you just kind of have to work it out as you go along.
And you're meeting all these people and walking past the Prime Minister. And
That was amazing. I mean, working in Parliament was just... It wasn't something that I ever thought would happen.
Yeah.
It was really surreal, but fantastic.
And you mentioned as well that this is quite a young person's job and that therefore there was a lot of networking that took place with an active social life, etc. And there's a lot of social activity takes place in Parliament. I know myself, there's a number of bars and coffee places, etc. So tell us about that aspect and the sort of network that you were able to build.
Yeah, I think one of the key things about politics is you need to know people, and that's what helps. You know, it helps get things done.
Yeah.
It is considered as something that most people have to do, is just to build their network. And the easy way to do that is by going out and socialising. So, every day there's bars open, and, you know, some of them are just for MPs, some of them are for staff, but whoever you meet, they're always going to be people who are helpful later on. So.
And what about the normal hours, or are they not normal hours? I think you work quite long days, don't you?
They're quite long days. So typically you'd get in about 8:30, and then depending on who you work for, Rob was very active, so we'd be there quite a long time. Mm. You know, we'd be there probably till 7-ish, sometimes 8-ish in the evening, and then you'd probably go out after that. But again, like, if you often have to go to the constituency with your MP on a Friday, so if they're quite far away, you're often getting, you know, I'd have to leave house even to go to Harlow at sort of 6 a.m. And then sometimes Rob would phone me Sunday nights, Saturday nights, whatever. He was always very good about it, but you know, you do have to, it does sort of take
it's a
over
24/7
your life. Yeah,
job,
it takes
isn't
over
it, really?
Your life a bit.
Yeah. So what do you think are the best things about this role, first of all?
Working in somewhere like Parliament and getting to meet such amazing people every day is fantastic. You know, being able to walk past a Prime Minister is great. And you really do get to see history being made, you know, and you feel like you're part of that. That was fantastic. Being able to do things where you could see that you were making a difference. So, you know, if you've been campaigning for a change in the law, and then the Chancellor announces that in the budget, where you feel, well, great, I came up with that idea.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you see it on the front page of the Sun. That's a real, you know, that's a real boost, and you feel great about it.
And you mentioned the variety as well. There's ever such a lot of variety.
Yeah, I mean, you get to work on pretty much anything from an issue about culture, media and sport to an issue about transport to an issue about cost of living. You get to do everything, and that's really great. I love that.
And what would you say are the challenges, the biggest challenges of it?
You have to be aware that it will kind of take over your life a little bit. So it is very much a full-on job. And, you know, if someone calls you on a Saturday, you have to take that call. You know, most MPs are quite good about it, but you have to be aware that you're going to be working slightly odd hours. It doesn't particularly pay that well.
What sort of salary is that? Is normal?
For most people, when they start. So when you're an intern, usually sort of minimum wage. But then when you kind of start properly, you're looking at the low 20s.
Right.
And then you can theoretically earn up to about 40K. But it depends on the MP's staffing budget and who they're employing and how much they're already being paid. And you can basically, everyone has a slice of that. So you couldn't just say, well, I want a pay rise if there isn't any more money in the budget. It's not there.
I mean, does it tend to be a young person's job?
It does tend to be quite a young person's job, I think, mainly for that reason, because it's quite difficult to progress and, you know, it's difficult to earn that kind of money for a while in London.
And how under pressure do you feel? Because I know that obviously MPs have to deal with urgent issues all of a sudden that no one can foresee. And I'm guessing that the Parliamentary Office sort of feels that pressure too.
Yeah, massively so. There is quite a lot of pressure, particularly in those circumstances where there's something really big happening and you need to react to it quickly.
Yeah.
And you need to make sure that what you're saying is right. So, you know, if your MP is going to go and give a speech and you need to write that speech, well, you need to absorb a huge amount of information and make sure that they're not going to say something which sounds completely ridiculous or is torn apart. Or
that still happens sometimes.
It does happen, yeah.
So it's the parliamentary assistant's fault.
Yeah, pretty much. Or the same for, you know, if they're going to do an interview, you don't want them to say something stupid. So you need to make sure you've briefed them properly. So there's always that kind of thing. Mm. It's just in terms of time, and there's a lot of things to do and a lot of pressure to get things done.
What about sorts of things that we read in the newspapers, you know, when there's scandals and things like that? What happens then?
Well, luckily, I wasn't there.
No.
Yeah, there wasn't much when I was there.
No, but does this happen with parliamentary assistants? What do they do? What, you know, if something goes wrong, do they lose their job? Or
it really does depend. I think a lot of the key thing with being a parliamentary assistant is that when you get your first job or the MP that you're going to work for, you need to be sure that you really get on well with that person and that you trust each other. Because if you don't, it's going to be quite difficult to work with each other. As is quite widely known now, there is no HR in Parliament.
No.
The MP who employs you as your employer, but is also your HR department and all that kind of thing.
So if that MP loses their job, even if they're not elected again or there's a shuffle or something.
If they lose their job, then you also lose your jobs.
Yeah.
So that's always, you know, there's always that feeling of insecurity.
So it's just relatively, for most people, it's a stepping stone and a short-term job because, number one, there's not necessarily as much job security as there could be elsewhere. But secondly, it's quite low paying because of the budget constraints that there are.
Exactly, yeah.
Although I imagine it's an absolutely riveting and interesting job. And if it wasn't for those other reasons, people would stay in it a lot longer.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a great job to do, but actually living in London on 25 grand a year is very difficult.
Yeah. So what are the next steps? Where could it lead to?
So it could lead on to sort of policy jobs. So you could go and work in a think tank, for example.
Right.
You could go and work in public affairs, which is the normal route. That's quite often the case.
Mm-hmm.
Go and work in charities, kind of more comms kind of jobs, so more of the PR kind of side of things.
Yeah.
And sometimes people go and do something completely different, like law, for example.
Yeah. And what about moving into a sort of a special advisor role or a ministerial role? How often does that happen?
So becoming a special advisor is quite hard. You know, it doesn't happen that often. There aren't that many special advisors, and they tend to be the absolute experts in their field. So a lot of the time people go and work in public affairs or will go and work for a charity or a think tank which will specialise in something, and that's when they might become a special advisor. That's more common.
Yeah.
Occasionally people do get to be a special advisor in Parliament, but it's not that common. And it is down a lot of time to your relationship with that minister.
And having a specific area of expertise, I guess, as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you find many parliamentary assistants actually move from MP to MP to MP?
Occasionally it does happen. It tends to be people working their way up. So usually the researcher job is kind of seen as the most prestigious job in the office.
Yeah.
Or there is kind of the head of the office, kind of diary manager, kind of office manager. That's a good job as well. But below that, there's obviously people who deal more with a constituency.
Yeah.
So people will tend to move around just so that they can
within
do
that
different
office.
Jobs. Yeah. Mm.
But then once you've done that and you've got to the top of that.
Exactly. Once you've done that, people kind of think, well, I want a new challenge.
And then it tends to be one of the routes that you've mentioned.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think that there will be a number of individuals that are very interested in following in your footsteps. If they are, and they are at school firstly, not at university, what would be your recommendation?
My recommendation would be to start reading as much as you can about politics. So really start, you know, absorbing as much information as you can. And that shouldn't be just, you know, you read the newspaper which appeals to you. You should read a a broad spectrum, online blogs, that kind of thing. So you really understand what's happening in politics.
Yeah.
That's probably the key thing. And then once you're sort of 16, 17, that's a time when a lot of people start getting involved in politics locally. And that can be really, really helpful because you start making those connections and networking them.
So. And they will join party and...
Yeah, so you join the party and it might mean just going once a month, going and knocking on some doors for your party, but actually you're starting to build up those connections and understand actually what people want on the ground. So,
okay. And then are jobs advertised or do they follow suit as you did and just sort of send out letters and CVs?
There are jobs which are advertised. So there's a website called w4mp.co.uk and that's a really good website which has loads of political jobs on it and often have internships and things like that. And they also don't have just jobs in parliamentary offices. It's jobs in public affairs and think tanks and that kind of thing. So that's a great place to look.
What's that website again?
W4MP.
Okay, great. And you mentioned apprenticeships as well.
Yeah, so apprenticeships are now a route which are becoming much more common. So Rob Halfon, when I was working for him, he had the first ever parliamentary apprentice. And when I was working for him, he had an apprentice called Aaron, who was 18 and had just done his A-levels and was doing an incredible job. So he worked for Rob for 2 years.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and he's gone on to work for the House of Lords, and it was, you know, it's a really good stepping stone as well. So, you know.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about that option to go to the House of Lords?
Aaron did the apprenticeship with Rob for 2 years, and then he he wanted to still keep working in Parliament, and he got a job in the House of Lords where he's managing facilities now in the House of Lords, and he loves it, you know, he had a great time.
So there are, of course, all these other jobs that, you know, you would expect in a large organisation, so facilities, HR, IT, marketing, finance, all of these jobs are obviously to sort of make this parliamentary... Yeah. Will turn. I mean, where do people get those jobs? Is that something that a parliamentary assistant can, you know, find those vacancies and progress into those roles too?
They don't usually tend to, because it tends, apart from people who've done apprenticeships can quite often, but they're much less political.
Yeah.
So you'll be working in Parliament and you'll be helping the building and you'll be helping people do their jobs, but it's less political, but it's a fantastic job. And you know, those jobs tend to be advertised more on the House of Commons and House of Lords websites rather than the W4MP website.
And if the individuals decided they do want to go to university, is there any particular subject? I mean, obviously they could study politics. How essential is that?
Not that essential at all. Most people I know who've worked in Parliament haven't studied politics. Yes, it's helpful, but actually you can get as much value from studying anything from like history or English and that kind of thing. So I think any subject which is quite analytical and kind of teaches you how to think quite quickly and write quite well is probably the most important thing, and it doesn't necessarily matter what subject it's in. Getting involved in the local university association is really important, I think.
In conclusion, really, if individuals, whether they are at school or university, want to follow in your footsteps, they would go to the House of Commons, the House of Lords, or the
W4MP.com
or .uk. We're not quite sure which, but one of those, they can Google and find it, and they'll find jobs there. But also, as you did, send out letters, send out CVs, and on those CVs have as much political work experience, really, or at least demonstrating political interests, so that that stands you in good stead when you come to apply. And then basically choose your party and apply to as many MPs as you possibly can and keep going.
Yeah, I think most people think that they need to have done lots of internships, but actually, and that's what I thought, you know, I thought I had to have done that and that I was therefore never going to be able to do it because I couldn't afford to.
Yeah.
But actually, you can do it anyway. You just need to have shown that you're dedicated in other ways, like doing things like knocking on doors and canvassing for your party.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone can afford to do that in London, and people do understand it. So. Yeah.
And finally, just on that point about affordability, I mean, this is not a highly paid role. You know, you started on minimum wage and sort of worked your way up, but you know, you'll be lucky if you're going to be earning more than about 40,000 at this point in time, and it's probably nearer sort of 20s, mid to late 20s, and so be prepared for a bit of financial hardship, you know, renting rooms and struggling to live in London, but it is doable, as you demonstrated, because you come from Devon and you still travelled up and went through the process, and obviously you've got some fantastic experience, and now you've moved into public affairs. So congratulations to you, and thank you so much.
Thank you.